a word for you. Amen. It's going to be not that very long of a message, simple points. And I pray that we be attentive, amen, as the word of the Lord goes forward. The title of the message here this night is Fulfilling the Call of God. Fulfilling the call of God. Not fulfilling the call of your boss, your wife, your children, but fulfilling the call of God. Tell your neighbor, if you want to fulfill the call of God, you're going to have to go the distance. You can't go halfway and fulfill the call of God. The Bible says, blessed is the man that endures to the end. I was willing to go the distance for the devil. Amen. I thought it was the enemy, but it was Jesus that Holy Ghost set me up, that got me busted. Amen. I thought it was a snitch, but it was the Holy Ghost. Amen. I thought a snitch put me in the back seat of the cop car, but it was the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost had a plan for my life. Even though I didn't understand it, I didn't know what it was. I didn't have a clue. All that was in mine, in the back seat of the car, someone snitched on me. Little did I know that God would anoint my trouble. That God would anoint my situation. Because he had a calling upon my life that I needed to answer and to go the distance. Anybody can run a 50-yard dash even out of shape. Overweight, you can run a 50-yard dash. But can you run a mile? A slow mile at that. See, in order to run a mile, you need to be in shape. Here this evening, once again, the title is Fulfilling the Call of God. As you go to the book of John, if you don't have your Bible, it will be on the screens. The book of John, chapter 8, 37 to 41. And the Bible reads, I know you are Abraham's descendants. Here is Jesus, and the Jews are going a little bit back and forth, who children they are, amen, who they belong to. I'm not going to preach on this. I'm just pulling a point from this, amen. It says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. Who got room for the word of the Lord here this night? I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. Okay, there are two fathers being talked about right now. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would not do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from God, Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. What father are they talking about? Go to verse 44. You belong to your father, the devil. I'm just preaching here tonight, amen? It's in the word. I know it's in the NIV. It may not be in your translation, but it's in mine. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Here, when the Jews were speaking of their heritage and spiritual legacy, they were claiming Abraham as their father. Amen. We have a legacy also and heritage as well within our ministry. Amen. We know it's first the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but God used this man. He used this woman. And our founder is Pastor Sonny Argazzoni Sr., amen, and his beautiful wife, Sister Julie, amen. Then we have our eldership. I believe three have gone to be with the Lord, and they preached to their very last breath. They were loyal. They were faithful. Foremost unto the Lord, and then to the founder, Pastor Sonny. They were faithful men of God, great men of God. Our elder Saul, wife just passed away last night. Amen. Faithful to the end. We too have a legacy and a heritage. Amen. And here, when the Jews were speaking, they were claiming Abraham as their father. And Jesus says, Abraham wasn't your father. The devil's your father. Why are you trying to kill me? He said two times. You're claiming Abraham as your father. Abraham didn't do these things. Why did they claim Abraham as their father? I put simply here, because Abraham went the distance. He received the calling, went through all his ups and downs, all the way to sacrificing his only son, Isaac. Amen. He went the distance. He wasn't perfect, but he went the distance. He was a true leader. He was a true leader. He not only knew how to follow, which I put here in my notes, which represents obedience. He knew how to lead. He had the vision of God within his life. He had a vision, a calling that came straight from God within his life and leading his life. I put here, followers at times become stuck on the challenges and immediately before them, the challenges immediately before them. At times we can get stuck in the calling of God, in the process of the Lord. We can become stuck. But I put here, leaders are able to see through the challenges and see the future and remain obedient to the vision of God. There's people that just lock in whatever may be taking place in their life, and you can't see what God has for your life up the road. It takes a man to have vision to allow to see through the challenge you might be facing this night. You need to have vision, a relationship with your Father, to go beyond the immediate challenges that might be facing you this night. To see the calling upon your life and reaching that place that God has called you to reach. But there's times we can get stuck and we get caught up in the moment and we lose the vision that the Lord had for our lives, and we get somehow lost along the way. Here, Abraham was able to see it from a distance. I put it, even though Abraham had many hurdles, he was able to stay on track with the vision God gave him. I'm going to make a few points here this night, amen, on staying on track. Even though we're in a battlefield, we're in a battle right now. And sometimes it's hard to stay on track when the enemy's nonstop hitting and attacking. A few things that kept Abraham on track. To remain on track, it's got to be Jesus from the beginning. Tell your neighbor, it's got to be Jesus from the beginning. I've seen a lot of men and women that are self-called. God told me. God said he was going to use, Pastor, I got to go, I got to leave now, because God's got a calling. He spoke to me. In Genesis 12, if we go real quickly to Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible reads, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and I know a lot of people know this message. I want you to stay in tune, amen? The Lord, he had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. So here we come to find out that it was God that initiated the calling in the life of Abram. Amen? It was God. Abram was minding his own business when God came calling his name. God initiated the calling upon the life of Abram. One way to stay in track, amen, is to be called of God. When you're called of God, I don't care what comes your way, you're going to stay on track because your calling is of God. It's initiated from God. I put here, when a man or a woman or a youth starts off with God, initiating the vision, I put here, one can more easily maintain direction and keep their motives pure. Their motives pure. It's been 20 years now that I've been in making in the process from a full-blown dolphin, amen, to where I'm at now 20 years later. And I've seen a lot of men and women and youth, amen, depart from the faith. When you're called of God, you will have the conviction of God upon your life that will allow you to stay, keep your motives pure within. No matter when people are speaking to you incorrectly, amen, no matter if it's your wife, your husband, amen, your pastor, that rarely happens, but it happens. We all fall short. But it's really important that within the warfare and the battlefield, that our motives stay pure. That we have a conviction that does right no matter what the other person is saying about you. Because our calling comes from God, not from man. But if we get caught up and distracted and derailed, a lot of times we get caught up in what people are saying and we do the same thing they do. It's easier to stay on track when you've been called of God. He's going to keep you. He's going to keep you. Even though the process of God, I put here, at times can become very, very difficult. If he initiated it, he will provide. Real simple stuff tonight. Sometimes we can get caught up in a mess in a corner and see God nowhere in the picture. Sometimes the process gets very hard, very difficult. 1 Corinthians 10:13 reads, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Tell your neighbor, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. The last word, stand up under it, in the Greek represents endure. God's looking for men. He's looking for women and a youth that are able to endure. What you and I go through, nothing new is under the sun, the Bible tells us. What you're going through, somebody else has already gone through. The question is, are you going to pass the test? And what you're currently going through. In Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, the Bible reads, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. When God initiates, when the call comes from God, when God initiates the call, He will always bless you. He will always include others and bless others. Three things take place when God initiates the call upon a man's life and a woman's life. First, He will bless you. And I've seen many men and women be blessed of God, called of God, blessed of God. But when one becomes blessed of God, we need to be careful to remain humble. We need to be careful to know that the true source is Jesus, not the boss. So when we are called of God, God's going to bless your life. And the blessings will always outweigh the hardships. God will always bless your life. And in God always blessing our lives, we're going to have to always continue to grow in humility. Because I've seen a lot of men and women fail in this area. Get so blessed where they feel they don't need the Lord in the picture no more. So here, God would speak the blessings over the life of Abram. And He said He was going to bless him. When the calling of God falls upon a man's life, a woman's life, it will also include others. God is not just going to bless you, and to isolate you in some under some bush and be all blessed under a bush. Amen? I've seen a lot of people get blessed and just keep accumulating things, and just keep accumulating things and trying to just accumulate more things. Whenever God calls a man or a woman, it will include other lives within your life. So we're not only going to have to learn how to be humbled under the blessings of God, but because the blessing of God and the calling of God calls us to work along with others, we're going to have to learn how to work with people. And within our ministry, they come from the street corner, the majority of all of them, from prison, from drug addiction. When God calls you, you're going to have to learn how to work with people, and that takes a lifetime. Too many people can work with people just as long as they agree with everything they're saying. It was your homeboy one day, the next day you want to box with him because he didn't say yes to you. And you have the calling of God upon your life. An initiated call from God will always bless you, include others, and it will also bless others. I've seen people mess up in this third area. It will also bless others. Them wrappers and those candies got to come to an end. Okay, that'll be the last one. Amen? I've heard three. The baby's innocent. I'm okay with that one. God starts, because when God calls a man or a woman, he's going to bless them. And I've seen over and over and over a man or a sister in the church being blessed and others become haters. We need to be happy when a man or a woman is being raised up, even when they pass you up. We need to be happy for them. But man, this is a tough era for people to get, oh, who does she think she is? I've been here longer than she has, and you know, pastor hasn't acknowledged me, and we come up with some good stuff. Because we can't see somebody be blessed of God for being obedient. The calling of God will come with his blessings. And it'll also come along with us working with others. Many people don't get past number two, working with others. I want to let you know that you can do it. You can do it. In Genesis 16, 1 and 2, the Bible reads that, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. She was barren, amen? But she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar, amen? So she said to Abraham, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. Amen. Here, Abraham, his wife, were in the 90s and 100 years old. And they wanted a son. She wanted a son. She wanted a family. She was barren. When Jesus all along in Genesis 17, 1 through 8, that's what they wanted. This is what God wanted. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God, the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. So in Genesis 16, 1 through 2, Abraham and Sarai had a plan to use the maidservant, amen? One of the slave girls there called Hagar, and to be able to produce a family. Abraham said he wanted a son, for she was barren. And 17 of Genesis, God wanted to him to be the father of many nations. I put here, God's vision for our lives is always greater than our vision. Here they were looking just for a family, and God wanted to create nations out of them. I put here, when we operate in our ability, we will usually produce incorrectly. Just a side note. When we operate in our ability, we will usually produce incorrectly. And I'm not just talking the ability BC before Christ came around, amen? Even in the Lord, we can get so experienced that we can operate in our ability and we can start to create and produce incorrectly because we're doing it off of our ability. Here, Abraham, through the maidservant Hagar, produce the boy. Amen. They produced. They got the job done, but they produced incorrectly. They produced incorrectly. It set up so much strife between the maidservant and Sarai. Amen. Because God had a plan, had a calling upon their lives. Too many times for being barren, I put, for so many years, being lost and bound for such a long time, we can settle, I put here, for the bare minimum of usually what our ability is capable of doing. I've seen so many men of God, women of God, that are not under the blessings of God because they're still operating under their ability. They're still producing, they're still going to work, they're married, they got children, but they're producing what their ability is able to produce and not what God wants to produce from their lives. And they come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, producing off of their own ability. It looks good from the outside, but God is nowhere in the picture. That's why we got to go beyond having a job, having a car, getting an apartment. Here, Abraham and Sarai wanted children, and they produced, but they produced incorrectly. But yet the plan of God, His grace and mercy, the plan of God was still upon their life. How many of us have produced incorrectly at times and God still with us here this night? Amen? We have made errors along the way, as Abraham did. I'm not going to preach on his errors, but he made errors in his life. But he would always get back on track because he was called of God. He was called of God. See, right now, within your spirit, there should be a bearing of witness if you're called of God or not called of God. And like Scripture said, your father being the devil, there should be a stirring within you, even if you haven't been doing too great lately, that there's a calling of God upon your life and that His grace and mercy is still there with you saying, this calling is still fresh and alive. Are you going to answer the call? But I believe too many times we were lost and bound for so long that we settle for the bare minimum of what our ability is able to produce. I put here, when God wants to use your life, not only to be blessed, but to bless others. In the beginning, 20 years ago, I was scrapping just for my own survival, for my own life. OD'd 15 times, shooting dope. I was fighting for my own life under my ability. I couldn't get the job done. But then one day, behind prison bars, the calling of God came to my life. It was no one else but God. The calling of God was initiated within my life from God Himself. And I've stayed on track for 20 years now. Not just with the Goody Goody Church around the corner, with the Frontline Ministry Church. God initiated the calling upon my life, and I know there's many here that God has initiated a calling upon your life that is straight from Him, straight from the throne, that comes with everything you need to be successful in order to bless others, in order to be that extension, that instrument that God can use to position others for greatness under the promise and the blessings upon the life of Abraham. I put here, to fulfill the call of God, we must go the full distance. We must go the full distance. I thank the Lord that every trial I've been through, and there have been some big ones in Christ, starting with my health, double surgeries on my liver, my kidneys, cirrhosis of the liver, hepatitis, all that stuff. Yellow, sucked up, jaundice, ready to pass away. But God still had further work for me to do, and He continued to use my life. There was a calling upon my life that sickness could not stop. There was a time BC before Christ that I was sick in the devil, but now I was sick in Jesus. I needed a fix, and Jesus was my fix. There was a calling upon my life, and I believe He just wasn't going to let me get away that easy and that quick to go be with Him. He says, now I got some more years for you to fulfill. And reaching out to the lives of men and women, positioning them in my house that they may be able to hear the call of God upon their lives. To fulfill the call of God, we must go the full distance. I don't know if you're married, but if you're married, you don't want your wife being with someone next month, amen? It's till death do us part, amen? For rich or for poor, good and healthy and unhealthy, healthy, all that. I don't want this church to be gone next month. I don't want my relationships with a lot of you men and women and youth to come to an end next month. And because of that, I need to go the full distance to be able to see what God has planned to work in my life and through my life to connect with you. That if He was able to do it for me, He's able to do it for you. The call of God is greater than anything that you might be facing here this night. The call of God is able to get you through whatever you're going through this night. There's nothing that can stop the call of God but you. Ain't no devil, no demon, no crack pipe, no heroin, no woman, no man that can stop the call of God upon your life but you. Every time I'm in a trial, it don't come down to the devil making the decision. It don't come down to Jesus making the decision, my wife or whatever it may be. It comes down to me. Am I going to go the distance or not? Am I going to do what's right or not? Because I want to go the full distance. I want to be able to experience why Jesus saved my life. I want to experience the glory of God in and through my life. And I'm not going to let no lying devil, no lying person that the Father is, the devil, stop the call of God from within my life. See, there's a lot of things right now trying to stop the call of God upon your life. And the biggest enemy is you. We need to choose to serve the Lord. We need to choose to spend time with God, quality time. If we want to be anointed and empowered year after year after year, that no matter what comes against us, we're able to see through it and see the vision of God before us. Too many people get stuck in the immediate trouble they're facing, and they can't see God. They can't see God. We need to be able to see God in the troubles that we face. You need to see the hand of God in whatever you might be going through here this night. The call of God is powerful. It empowers, it anoints, amen. He anoints that man and that woman to be able to endure. I believe the majority of us, amen, were selected because he saw how we used to run with the devil, man. He said, shuck and use him. Psst, woo. Some of you had Jesus going, whoa, woo. I need him on my team. His grace and mercy come upon our life. I was just doing time, minding my own business in prison. Doing time. Smoking my buglers, amen. As long as I had my buglers, I was good. Every time commentary would come, 3-4 cans, man. I was just, hey, it's all I need is my buglers, my rollies, amen. There was a time where all I needed was my cigarettes. It's all I needed to be happy, doing time in prison. God didn't leave it like that. To fulfill the call of God, we must go the full distance. Abraham would get tested with, at the end, with his very own son. With his very own son. The angel of the Lord would interject and stop from him taking out his son. I put here, a point here says, testing always precedes promotion. Testing always precedes promotion. Too many of you all want to be promoted but, and still not being able to pass the tester in right now. Testing always precedes promotion. And promotion, the second point, and promotion requires sacrifice. That's why too many don't get promoted. Because within the equation, it calls for sacrifice, humility. I'm working with one of my disciples right now. Some things have been jumping off, and he's eased me now just to bow down to the person that's coming in correctly at me. Before, what you talking about, huh? We take this to the backyard right now. That's when I was in Jesus. That wasn't BC, amen. That was in Jesus. I have two stories in the rehab, guys, where no-neck brothers, man, with chests out to here and stuff, man. I take them to the backyard. They take their shirt off. Come on with all that stuff. I know they're not a fighter when they got to take off their shirt to fight. They're not a fighter. Or when they stick out their chest, they're not a fighter. When they get in distance, their hands are still down, they're not a fighter. I'm from South Texas, baby, and I know a fighter from not a, a non-fighter. What do you want? Put them up, put them up. How did the lion go from the Wizard of Oz? Put them up, put them up. The truth was, he was afraid. He was fearful. He didn't have a heart or a brain or oil in the can or something like that. Put them up, put them up. I thank the Lord today that I can see myself and my disciples when I was younger in the walk of the Lord, where I couldn't take nothing from nobody. I don't care if I was even wrong and they were right, I wasn't going to go for it. Now they can be so wrong, I can be so right, hey, whatever, hey. All right, bro, what else you want? Okay, we can do that. All right, you got it. And walk away. I ain't no punk. I'm not no punk. Takes years to establish that, to walk away from trouble instead of adding on to the equation of trouble. And I see myself and my disciples. I say, man, I try to keep without laughing. I try to not, just do it, man. It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing. We work before the Lord, not man. Do it. Do it. I know if God could get me to the place to do it, that they too can do it. I'm saying they, but it's one person. The person knows who I'm talking about right now. Amen? I'll give you a blues clue. He's on the front row. Ooh. Yeah. He's on the front row. Pastor, why is he on the front row then? He's in the process. He's in the process. I was still doing that as a pastor. Tell the truth, shame the devil. If God initiated the call upon your life, let's do it his way. If you got the calling of God upon your life, let's do it his way. Let's do it his way. I know I left a couple of verses, scriptures out, but that's okay. Keyboard player, please. If you feel within your heart that God initiated the calling upon your life, that's good news. But the truth is, if that did take place, you still got to do it his way. Just because you're called of God don't mean you can do it any way you want to. He's got to be the source. The Bible says he's the way, the truth, and the life. And we got to continue to follow. Following means obedience. Leading means having vision. That when the same obstacles faces another person, they get stuck and you keep going forward. Because you keep the vision and what God, why God has called you. And you don't get stuck. To continue to go forward in the things of God, it will always call for humility. It will always call for change. It will always call for commitment. It will always call for sacrifice. And these end times that we're living in right now, those are all bad words right there in the church. Ain't nobody want to sacrifice no more. Ain't nobody want to get committed no more. They're upon their own agenda. You're only going to get so far. You're only going to get so far. Ability will carry you so far. If you've been called of God, let's do it his way. Let's go the full distance here. Let's do things the right way. If we're going to be doing time in Jesus, let's do things the right way. Let's become those individuals that are blessed under the blessing of Abraham to fall upon our lives. From generation to generation. Part of the blessing that came from the promise or the life of Abraham was the lineage was Jesus. Jesus came from there. Jesus. There was something within the life of Abraham that did not allow him to quit. He even went to that mountaintop with his son and everything to show God that he was willing to go the distance. And there was the sacrifice in the thicket. In my beginning years as a new convert, there was other people that were sacrificing on a daily basis for me to get through the beginning part of the process of the calling of God. And it feels like 100 years that now I'm caught up in the thicket. And I'm that sacrifice to be able to see people through. But the ram in the thicket, which it really represented, was Jesus. On the cross for your life and my life. Amen. I said it many years ago that the devil there in the time of tempting was trying to give him a crown here on earth. And Jesus, now, give me the crown of thorns. Give me the crown of thorns. Give me the crown of obedience, of sacrifice. Give me the crown of commitment. I want to do things the right way. Nobody wants the crown of thorns. When you see the movie, they went, he pushed it down on his head. Nobody wants that. But when we were serving the devil, we were willing to wear 30 crowns on our head every day to get high, to do our thing. Here this night, I believe the calling of God is upon the lives of many here. But you still got to go through the process. You still got to go through the process. You still got to get committed. You still got to surrender as we stand this night.